Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
And I've got nuggets on Brendan McCaffrey. Brendan McCaffrey, for people listening, longtime score guy. He was a longtime assistant program director with to Mitch Rosen.
Baldy McGrindy.
Thank you very much. What was that? Baldy McPherson? What was that?
McGrindy.
Let's go to okay, enough of the Gillette. Lose it.
And here's the real kicker, guys. McPherson's told me that, and he gave me the permission, that he and his wife are having a second child.
Hey!
Come on.
I mean, that's wonderful.
Mark Grody with it first.
So, we should put him on the
air studio tomorrow.
We really should.
We should have BMAC do our Bears.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
I was just wondering if you heard all the swearing. All of a sudden, I felt I could see the wall shaking, and I heard swearing. So I think BMAC's still here.
Jeez.
When we go to the next break, Brandon, you will now be Brendan.
Brendan, that's his
or
name.
Or Brenda.
And our guy. Our best guy when it comes to organizing.
He surpassed Brandon. He is our top crack producer of all time. He's shot by Brandon.
Rick Camp.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. The movie expert had to pop in and cough on us.
Hello there.
Yeah. I'm
bunch of ass wipes in here. Yeah. He uses a Spencer rifle in Unforgiven.
Dirty hair.
Go away. Cough somewhere else.
Captain Red Ass.
Seriously, I believe he did win the award for best movie expert suffering from tuberculosis.
He's like Doc Holliday.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Working the board in the Score studios, Brandon McCaffrey.
Afternoons on the Score.
Oh, man, this is an absolute treat. Brendan McCaffrey, who now does incredible work for Sirius XM NFL as one of the managers and producers over there, he did every job here at the Score before he left to make a lot more money. And we couldn't be happier for him. And we are happy that he has been at Hallis Hall the last couple of days so we can pick his brain. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. You should check it out. I was there a couple weeks ago. The pool is fantastic. Stadium swim is the best. BMAC, what's up, man?
Lawrence, Matt, how we doing? Speaks. I called you Matt. That's how long it's been. I called you. Nobody calls you Matt.
I'm
good, man. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. You can call me whatever the hell you want, dude. This is really nice. I mean, like Lawrence said, you did every job there was to do here.
None of them well. I did do many jobs. That's true.
But you've known the both of us for so long. You knew us. Different shows, different iterations. How weird is it that this is the afternoon show, by the way? That it's me and Lawrence as like, like we are the veteran stalwarts holding down the fort in afternoons. Isn't that kind of crazy?
A little bit, but like, I mean, you guys are the second generation, right? Like,
yes.
we had the people that started the station in 92, and then you guys came in, a few years later, and you were the leaders, you know. I remember as an intern and a young producer, like, working with you guys. One of my first jobs was Hamp and Holmes, when Chris Collins got promoted, and I, was working that show with you every day, Lawrence. Like, I learned a lot about doing this job. And Spiegs, hit and run. You know, I did some hit and run stuff with you for many years. So, you guys have always been versatile and talented, and you work hard and eventually come to people that deserve it. So I'm happy that you guys are in afternoon. So,
all right. Well, that's all we wanted. That's all we wanted.
Nope.
Hey, Tanny is not fair. And that's the only reason we called Brendan. Good talking to you, buddy.
Wow,
thanks so much.
You went really looking for the validation from BMAC there.
Well, this is the Mr. and Mr. Validation show.
It is, but I figured we'd talk about BMAC and his one and a half beautiful children.
Let's do that now. A half child.
So you got another one coming?
Another boy. My son Danny turns 2 in a couple weeks, and we have another boy due in January. So I call Danny's the outside baby, and the one in my wife's pregnant with the inside baby. So we'll see the inside baby, right as it turns into 2026. So very excited.
What's been the most interesting thing about fatherhood for you?
Well, before I get to that, I would say that I wish somebody would have told me, you know, like people will give a lot of unsolicited advice to parents. The one piece of advice I would have loved to have gotten from somebody was to, you know, get your fat ass in shape, because I've gotten in shape now, but when my son was born a couple years ago, I was not in shape. And, you know, chasing after him now, like, you know, lifting him up our three flights of stairs at our place. And, you know, it's been, I'm just glad that I finally figured that one out. But fatherhood's been great. My wife says that I'm the favorite parent. I don't know if that's, I'm certainly not the better parent, but my son is, we're thick as thieves, and it's great. Like, and he looks like a blonde version of me. So I hope to God this kid keeps his hair longer than I did.
I love that, man. Love that for you guys. That's so freaking great.
Oh, and if I may, just for those of you out there, like IVF, both conceptions were IVF. So, you know, we had struggles with that, and it's not something I'm like, you know, obviously I'm willing to share it because I'm sharing it with a 50,000 watt radio station, but, it was, you know, it's like a miracle. So, it's been pretty cool.
That makes me happy for you guys that, and even if you look at B-Mac's Twitter, like he shares it, and the fact that you guys are graced with a baby, no matter how you got it, I think is wonderful, because you're both wonderful people. And I love that you wanted to be parents and you're parents and you're taking care of those kids the way that they should be taken care of, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So we appreciate you. And we know that you talk to a ton of people around the NFL. We know that you jump into Chicago occasionally to see what's going on as you're producing shows for NFL XM Sirius. Can you walk me through, since you saw Ryan Poles last year as the Hard Knock stuff was going on, and you see Ryan Poles now, is there any difference in this guy?
Yeah, I would think there is. He is not the biggest swinging you-know-what in the building anymore, and that's Ben Johnson. He, and this is just from what I'm, you know, I've gathered, what I've observed, but he is there to serve this head coach. And I don't know, you know, that's not like a, you know, a crazy revelation based on what they're paying Ben Johnson, but he's there to put Ben Johnson's, wishes, you know, like basically make it all happen. You saw what they did with the offensive line additions. You know, Ben Johnson got here and said, well, I had Penei Sewell and I had Taylor Decker and I had, you know, an offensive line that could protect and that could run great play action. And he needed that here. And, you know, with those additions, I think he's gotten it. So I just feel like Ryan Poles is like, you know, just another member of Ben Johnson's staff. And he's going to get the groceries.
Wow. Brendan McCaffrey, this is something that a lot of us have wanted for a long time, and the McCaskies have been afraid, I believe, to give that power to a head coach. And I think Kevin Warren has done a good job managing the McCaskies and getting them to sign on for this and let the head coach be the godhead, you know, top of the organizational flowchart, because that's the way that most NFL teams, good ones anyway, work, isn't it? This is where you, as the national guy, you look around, there's not many teams where the GM is the boss. Howie Roseman is the boss in Philly, but like there's, yep. But a lot of places, most places, it's the coach in the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the best organizations, like if you want to look at what the Seahawks did in the Pete Carroll era, you know, like Pete Carroll was hired and brought John Schneider in. Now, obviously Pete Carroll's out, but like, I guarantee you with the Raiders, John Spytek is going to be working for Pete Carroll. That is how that's going to work. Mike Vrabel in New England, Elliot Wolf, their pro personnel guy, basically the de facto GM. He's not going to be telling Mike Vrabel what to do. Mike Vrabel is going to be like, I need this guy. You know, they go out and get Stephon Diggs. Like, Mike Vrabel's the one calling the shots. I would expect the Patriots to have quite a turnaround because that division's kind of weak. The Bears are trying to follow that playbook. I was at Lions camp, and I would argue Brad Holmes is pretty empowered, but like still, as soon as Dan Campbell got into that building, everything has changed. And he's not like, I don't know, I don't think he's some master tactician. Like, he's not some wonky football guy. He's just a guy who sets expectations, is a great people person, and gets his people to buy in. And Brad Holmes has done an incredible job as the GM there, you know, drafting the guys they've had. I think maybe you could even say the same thing in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, because Kevin O'Connell is a hell of a head coach. And Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, I would imagine that Kevin O'Connell signed off on the whole J.J. McCarthy thing, you know, as Kirk Cousins was nearing the end. And if they weren't comfortable with J.J. McCarthy, then Sam Darnold probably still would have been there. So, yeah, I do think the best organizations run that way, where the GM is serving the head coach, a partnership or even like a subordinate almost.
Our guy, Brendan McCaffrey from SiriusXM NFL Radio, is joining us, and he's our guy because he started his career here at The Score. He has been to you've been to all of the training camps since you've been at Sirius?
No, I've been to Bears. I come to Bears every year. They can save on the hotel room, so I can. I'm actually
staying with
in my
family.
Parents' driveway.
Yes.
I'm in my rental car. I have to catch a flight to O'Hare in a couple hours, so I got to frantically pack and head to the airport in a little bit. I've been to Bears. I've been to Lions a couple times. Last year, a coworker's wife got COVID right before the tour, and I, on like 24 hours notice, went to Patriots, Bills, Lions, Steelers, and Browns, all within those are all in like over the course of 6 days. By the way, Steelers camp is incredible.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what was your favorite?
Probably the Steelers. They do a Friday night. We broadcast on a Friday night, and they do it under the lights at this local high school. And it's really cool. Like, we tape interviews kind of the day before with like Mike Tomlin and last year was Russell Wilson. And then we had Art Rooney, the owner, Art Rooney II, on at the stadium. He came and sat with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin on our camp show. So that's really cool. I will say I love the Lions camp. They treat us, and we never have any issues getting the guests that we're looking for. So pretty cool. It's been a lot of fun to, and I do have, I think I have one more stop. I'm going to be in Canton next week for the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. That's one of my, that's actually how I got hired. Cause when Brian Urlacher went in, my boss saw me. I think Lawrence, you were down there, right? I think we got like Andre Reed on, and
yeah,
I was chasing down anybody who was in the video game Tecmo Super Bowl. I was like, oh, you're in Tecmo Super Bowl. You're coming on the air.
So, I was telling these guys, BMAC, about that trip. Do you remember Chris Carter stopping while we were talking about Johnny Manziel? Like, we're sitting there, and it's like we're just in a hallway doing the show. And BMAC and I are talking about Johnny Manziel. Like, I think he was playing in the CFL at that time, and he was terrible in a game. And we were looking at the statistics of it, and we had said something about it. And Chris Carter, it was like a commercial. Chris Carter walked by, and he heard us, and he goes, "Football is hard." And he just kept walking after he said that. It was an amazing moment. Me and B-Mac are like, what just happened right there? Like, Chris Carter was, CC was listening to us do our thing down there. We were watching Urlacher get in his enshrinement.
I don't remember that at all, but that is one of the best parts of going down there. Like, you'd run into like Jerry Kramer, or you run into these guys that can all like, you know, spin a fun yarn. And then you've got, I won't name names, but let's just say, how do I put this? A very famous defensive tackle, Tampa 2 defense, usually is walking around drunk a lot. He's been on our air once. Now, he wasn't drunk at the time, but he's always a fun person to run into.
Yeah,
but, you just get that. You get those like legends of the game, and it's pretty funny. Yeah, put Chris Carter down on the guest list. He came on if anybody asked.
What do you feel like you've learned about the NFL? You know, as a lifelong Bears guy who's now gotten a chance to talk to so many people and see these different camps, what do you feel like you've learned about the way the league works that that you did not realize?
My wife, Katie, likes to use a term, the speed of the leader is the speed of the group, that phrase. Everybody's heard that one. But I believe that as it relates to ownership. So if your owner knows what they are doing, everything can fall in line from that. You look at the teams that are consistently good, the Eagles, the Ravens. I mean, yeah, okay, these teams will have dips occasionally, but like, and the Lions, I don't want to bring everything back to the Lions, but like when Sheila Ford Hamp took over, I mean, we're Bears fans. We saw what the Lions had been for most of our adult lives, with the exception of like some Barry Sanders years. But even then, the farthest they got, I think, was an NFC championship. But as soon as she took over, you know, she makes these changes, she brings in Dan Campbell, and like that's a first class operation over there. So that is the number one thing I've learned, is that like ownership, everything starts from there. And if they know what they're doing, then generally speaking, they're going to find the right people to get the job done under them. They're going to hire the right coach. They're going to hire the right personnel people, and let those guys do their jobs, you know, like that. That's the other thing. They're not really going to meddle. They're going to set expectations, hire people, and let them do their jobs. So that's what I've learned.
Last thing before we let you go. Give us a favorite Score memory, a favorite show you worked on, or a favorite day that when you think back to your time here, that jumps out at you.
I really can't name just one, because like there's just a flood of memories coming back to me right now.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them were in Canny's production piece there. Like, we did a Score Head of the Year, like right when I was either an intern or right when we started. And it was just like, you know, and I apologize, Mitch. I don't mean to sideswipe you, but like, I don't know if Mitch typed the questions, but like there are these questions up on a board and a Abatacol is reading them because it's like a trivia contest. And it was in Palatine. I forgot the bar, but downtown Palatine. And there were like spelling errors and like, you know, it was just like grammar errors, and Matt was making fun of it. And it was just so funny. You know, some of the roasts, like the Doug Buffon roast was great. I mean, hearing Doug and OB there, like in that, you know, in the little rejoin there was, I miss Doug. It's been, we just passed 10 years.
Yeah.
With Doug gone. And that's the other thing. When I got to NFL radio, you know, I got there in 2018, Doug had been gone. And all I could think of was like, how many times would I have booked Doug Buffon to come on NFL radio? Like as a guest, I had to have him on every week. Like he's just the best. So getting to produce those shows for a couple years was great. And I will tell one story quickly that nobody knows other than Chris Tannehill. And don't worry, Tanning, it's not like we're gonna get in trouble, but there was a caller, what, Jack in Arizona. I told this last night. I was hanging out with Tanny, and he would call, and I don't even know if he's still alive. Hopefully he is. Hi, Jack. But he's a big time Score listener. He'd call in and just have like a terrible call in the Bears post game. And one day we were out at a bar doing Doug and OB, and I just decided, I was like, you know what? Turn the phone pot on and off while he's on the air, and we'll pretend like he has a bad connection, and then we'll just hang up on him. So of course, you know, Doug and OB don't know any better. And we just messed with Jack in Arizona, like, oh, sorry guys, I guess his phone, you know, must not have paid his phone bill, you know? So stuff like that, behind the scenes stuff.
You are retroactively fired. That's it.
He can't be fired. He's a sports director. Can't be fired. He fires us.
Well, he's retroactively fired from the Score. Congratulations on that.
B-Mac. I wasn't a sports director then.
That's true. B-Mac, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Go make your flight, and thanks for doing our Bears report for us today.
Thanks, man. Say hi to Katie, please.
Please do.
Say hi to Katie.
I will definitely. I'm probably listening back in New Jersey and hoping that I make it home. And thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Sorry, there wasn't much Bears info in there, but...
No, this is better.
This is better.
This was totally better.
Do our best.
Be well.
You too, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It. Bears training camp coverage on the Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Amazing. Just a delightful human. It's really cool that he gets to work in the league like that.
Yeah, it's nice, too. Like, I was last night, because I was looking for that picture for you.
Yeah.
So I went through, like, a whole bunch of pictures, and I was like, man, like, the nighttime show, we used to have a lot of people, like, in studio. And so I was looking, and I posted a bunch of them on Instagram.
I saw that. There was, like, a lot of stuff from your career on IG.
It was all, like, the nighttime show stuff. Like, all the people that we brought in on the nighttime show. And it's just so fun to like look back now and be like, man, like Tony was a child. Like he was a child.
Tony Gill?
Yeah. And now he runs content for CHGO or having Malika Andrews here in studio. And I found a picture of me and Rick Hahn doing an interview from Sox Fest where we look like children. Hmm. And now we're two bitter old men, you know? like
Yeah, if memory serves, one of you traded Fernando Tatis for James Shields.
Yep.
With that, we'll pivot to the negative.
I mean, he brought it there. I didn't even have to say anything.
But it's so great, like a young Tanny. And now, like, Tanny's like a super responsible dad. It's like... Seeing all that stuff is cool. Roki's engaged. Like it's weird to live in that moment in that space. So to see B-Mac and Katie be all happy and they're getting ready to welcome their second kid, it's beautiful.
It's really cool.
Really awesome.
Yeah, you sent the picture to me last night of me and Chris Ronji and Barry Rosner chopping it up, I think, before the Cubs were about to beat the Dodgers and go to the World Series.
Yep, you guys were walking the ramp, and I was like, you had said something. I was like, man, Speaks, I think I have a picture of you from that night.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it, and then last night, I was like, got it. I finally found it.
That was the night that I met the Good Morning America host. Yeah, I didn't know he was going to be the Good Morning America host.
You didn't know that at the time.
No, I would have invested more in the relationship.
Although I think back then he actually did it all. He had already
probably
done his HBO show.
Yeah, but I mean,
then I met Buck.
I mean, it's like one of the more that whole night and that whole thing.
It's pretty crazy. He was the last person I saw before all the Cubs people were partying on the roof that night. It was Joe Buck putting on his St. Louis Blues winter cap and walking out of the stadium.
Oh my God.
Then all the Cubs people yelling, saying they had a party going on the rooftop.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I'm glad that you got that pick.
Yes.
Because I was like, man, I know I have it.
And the pick, you also showed me the pick of you with your high school sweetheart in your room in front of, among other things, a Ryne Sandberg poster.
Yeah, I wanted to find that. That was my guy. So yeah, I had him on my wall when I was in college.
Man, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Shout out to the high school sweetheart.
It's Cubs Sox weekend, and maybe there's some people listening on their way to the game. We can update you on the trade deadline happenings today and the rumors today, because there's lots of that. And the Sox will throw Adrian Hauser out there, like Steve Stone told us before during the show. It's got to be Adrian Hauser's last start for the White Sox. They've successfully found a guy that they can flip.
Yeah, and no Luis Robert. So we can tell you a little bit about that. I want to go back to a conversation we had yesterday, though, about the White Sox organizationally. And some of the guys who aren't White Sox anymore. Because I think you had an interesting, like, we didn't get enough time to, like, flesh out the discussion. So hopefully we can do that. By the way, a little breaking news. Shamar Stewart, the holdout for the Bengals, just signed a four-year, $18.97 fully guaranteed deal So that gives them one pass rusher. Let's see if they sign the other one, because if they don't, maybe the Bears can trade for him.
A reminder, by the way, Bears training camp coverage on the Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
We'll talk a little White Sox next here on the Score.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
It's forward to seeing kind of what they get going. You know, problem in baseball is when you're with a team every day, you know, you get so locked into your own ball club that, you know, you don't get, you see a little bit of what's going on and you read and you try to watch. But it'll be interesting because the White Sox were scuffling when we first played them. And, you know, and now, you know, some of these young kids are starting to take off a little bit. So I know I will spend some time with Lenny Casper today, one of my old buddies, and see him and talk to some of the White Sox people today and just see how they're doing. DJ also is one of my old teammates, so he always gives me a hard time for robbing my grand slam. I hit the Metrodome and he pulled it back. And so I know I'll hear that today, but it'll be nice to see those guys and look forward to the whole weekend for sure.
Man, that just gave me the smiles thinking about very good people on both of those radio broadcasts, getting a chance to just hang out together this weekend. And I'm thrilled to get to be a part of it on Sunday. I'll do pregame and postgame and the fifth inning of play-by-play, backing up Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer on Sunday. And to see Len Casper and Darren Jackson right there, and to see Stoney and John Schriffen and the TV guys for the Cubs as well. I mean, Boog, is that his name? Boog? He's a nice man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So his name is John.
Jonathan. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's true. And JD and everybody. I mean, it's gonna be a great weekend. No trade activity for the Cubs so far today. Ryan McMahon went to the Yankees today, and Josh Naylor to the Mariners last night. We'll see if things heat up. But the White Sox are playing well. They've won 5 out of 6. Most runs scored of any team since the All-Star break in all of MLB. And maybe the Chris Getz era will be different than the Rick Hahn era in terms of the outcome of a rebuild.
He's still got a long way to go to get there.
Oh, yeah. I heard our friend David Haw this morning referring to the core four of the White Sox offense.
I don't like that.
Well,
I don't think that there's a core of anything yet.
Kyle Teal, Miguel Vargas, Colson Montgomery, and Chase Mydraw.
Yeah, I'd like bigger sample sizes on all of them before I start making pronouncements that they're the core. Like, if someone came to you right now and like it could give you more guys for Colson Montgomery, might you not think about it? If you're the White Sox. If someone wanted Chase Mydroff, would you just say no, he's untouchable?
No, I would happily discuss that.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too soon for any core.
Mydroff is the one I think Mydroff is a very nice player.
He's a nice player.
Extremely capable,
yes,
starting second baseman type or utility infield type.
Sure.
Totally useful, gonna play a long time in this league.
If you have a lot of nice players, you can win a lot of ball games. If you just spread them out all over the diamond, you win a lot of games that way.
True. Need a couple of just big boppers.
They need more. Yeah. Yeah, they do need more though.
They definitely could use some boppers because they don't really have that.
But I mean, since the break though, Lawrence, I know
the curve that we keep grading this White Sox team on is very steep.
We're less than a year removed of the worst team in the history of the league. I think it's an understandable curve at this point. Next year the curve better.
I just don't want to
bend more.
I just don't want to overvalue. Hey, they're not the worst team ever.
Mm-hmm.
With
fair.
They're good, because they're not. They're bad.
Mm-hmm.
They continue to be bad. But it is nice to turn on a White Sox game and be like, hey, look at Colson Montgomery's first couple of weeks in the bigs. That's nice.
And the Cubs have been, I don't know, Cubs got spanked by the Royals in a couple of those games.
They did.
Lost 2 out of 3 to Kansas City.
They very much did.
What if we come in here on Monday and, you know, I mean, what do you think is going to be the case on Monday?
I think if we come in here on Monday.
What if the Cubs lost 2 out of 3 to the White Sox?
I think that the demand of Cubs fans to be like, hey, you guys need to do something.
It's going
to
be fierce.
It's going to be very loud. And it should be anyway. And I'm I hope that they make something big happen, because there's a part of me that feels like they may have missed an opportunity, but no one's really moved yet, so I think they're okay.
Yeah, I don't think they've missed an opportunity. I think it would have been nice if they had a starter instead of the Ben Brown bulk effort last week or earlier in the week. I will say, at least the schedule lightens up a little bit for the Cubs after they take on the red-hot White Sox. They go to Milwaukee for the Brewers on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So that'll be a nice reprieve.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It's like, I heard somebody talking about this series. Oh, it's a trap series. It's a trap series for the Cubs. I'm like, no, it's not
a trap series when you're coming off of losing a series.
When you're coming off of losing a series and you're going against a team that's won 5 of 6, and all of a sudden looks like they're putting a little something together.
Yeah, and you're chasing a team that for some reason them and the Toronto Blue Jays are like, oh, we're just going to keep winning.
I don't get it. I don't get it on the Blue Jays front. Well, here we are again with a compressed time to have a conversation you've been wanting to have.
No, it's all right. We can save it for another time.
We'll have it. We'll have it, because it's an
evergreen
worthwhile
topic that we can discuss.
Yeah. Well, let's hold on to it. I will say this. I asked Michael Bush the other night, what are you thinking more about, this White Sox series coming up or the Brewers series after that? And he looked me in the eyes. He's like, the next game.
Yeah.
That's all I'm thinking about.
You can't think – It's hard to, I think fans can look at it and be like, man, the Brewers, like, what are the Brewers doing? And why is Andrew Vaughn there? And why is Nate Bargatze talking to him? By the way, the Brewers are losing right now, what, 5-1?
5-1 of the Marlins going to the bottom of the eighth.
So, you know, there's that part of it.
But yeah, he said Friday, he said, every game matters. He's like, every game, this is the second half of a baseball season, you know, where you're trying to hold on to a playoff spot. Every single game is what we're focused on. Which is a good and smart thing. It was great talking to Michael Bush on Wednesday at Wildfire, and there's another one of those coming up. Right now, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Baseball After Dark at Wildfire in River North.
I know the guy who's hosting that.
Wednesday, August 6th, featuring special guest Matt Shaw and hosted by that man, Matt Beagle. Baseball After Dark is presented by Huntington Bank. Life is a masterpiece. Make your money story a bestseller. And by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating wonderful memories. And that's it. That's the whole read. Oh, actually, be caller number 6 right now to the contest line at 312-540-0670, and you'll win 2 tickets. Very cool event. See you there on Wednesday night.
It'll be a ton of fun. Because this last one was amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
And, you know, Matt Shaw, like, he's another name that has been coming up over the last couple of days of, does Matt Shaw go back to being, is he a utility guy or is he this team's third baseman? And how much of an upgrade do you have to make a move at third base for Matt Shaw?
Matt Shaw, since the end of the All-Star break,
having a nice little run.
9 hits. Including 3 home runs, 6 RBIs.
And he plays a really good third base?
He really does. He really does. So that's in just 6 games. Dude's got 9 hits and 3 homers. So is this Matt Shaw, who's hit everywhere he's ever been, now turning a little corner on that? It's conceivable.
So tonight hopefully will be fun, and it looks like the weather is going to cooperate so far.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to be good. I believe so. We'll see if there's a delay, but I see some blue in the sky out here outside of the window. That's for sure.
All right. Oh, well, we got to keep that until next time. Next time when we have the discussion, that piece of sound.
Yeah.
We got to keep that.
Yeah, but we're going to come back and Brad Biggs talks baseball with you.
He knows his baseball.
Huh. Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Brad Biggs talks baseball with you.
Well, ordinarily, Brad Biggs talks football with you. That's one of his things. But he grew up playing baseball.
He knows baseball
well.
He
loves baseball.
Yeah, he does.
So just because a guy does one thing doesn't mean that he doesn't love another thing, sports-wise.
You are living proof of that. Your sports waters run absurdly deep, frankly.
It's annoying, isn't it?
It's not. I mean, it's not annoying. I envy.
Just wait till Premier League comes back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Arsenal, baby. This is our year.
I'm all right.
This is our year. We'll be able to pull it
off. Did you get a graduate degree there something?
Arsenal is my team. Like, that's a team that I support. So okay. I get to say our.
Yeah, I know you do.
That's my team.
All right.
And it's not like we cover that league.
No, we do not. No, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't violate
this is our
any
year.
Is that where you can kick a team out of the league when they lose and they
that
don't?
That is correct.
How does that happen? Is there like a ceremony where they everyone gathers around and they kick them out of the league?
Tanny,
people celebrate.
They stab them. They all stab them with a knife.
You know what's great about
throw tomatoes at them?
They literally call it relegation day.
Oh.
So like the last match weekend.
Oh, no.
You have a lot of matches going on and you can end up like, oh, this team is getting promoted or this team is getting relegated depending on what happens in those matches.
It's a beautiful thing, by the way, as a system.
If you look at what's happened with Wrexham, they've been promoted now.
Yeah.
You were just talking about Wrexham Speaks the other day.
Well, sure.
Wouldn't stop.
No, it's I've been on it for 2 years. 8 milligrams of Wrexham.
It'll clear you out.
Wrexham damn near killed him.
It'll clear you out.
Those are my two options, Danny.
Do you want to hear the Brad Biggs or do you need to go catch a train?
Brad Biggs talks baseball with you.
Huh. I'm curious. Do the Cubs have a very, very successful weekend on the South Side, and then that makes people feel like, oh, okay, well, they just need a little bit of help.
They win 2 out of 3. They go into Milwaukee with some momentum. Yeah.
Right, but I did like consider the level of competition, and they just dropped 2 out of 3 to Kansas City. They need to replace 4 guys in the starting rotation.
I know you've been in a football cocoon, but the Sox have won 5 out of 6.
Sox can't be beaten, Brad. I don't know if you're aware.
No, the Sox are emerging as a wagon, but Jed should stop listening to the show and start calling some other guys back in pitching help.
Okay. Noted, Brad.
Yeah, that's
noted.
Beautiful.
That is amazing. The Sox are emerging as a wagon.
The Sox are emerging as a wagon.
Danny's going to hold on to that one.
I like that Biggsy is monitoring Jed's listening of the score, too.
Who called somebody a wagon the other day on this show?
Jack Wagon?
No, it was talking about a football player who's good. That guy's
Someone was dragging a wagon?
No, some guy. That guy's a wagon. No, wagon means like a badass now. That's what he's talking about.
And dragon wagon means something, too.
It does?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a shaggin' wagon is like the song Chevy Van in the 70s.
The Sox are emerging as a wagon.
And if you get that reference with Chevy Van, then please, please talk to your doctor.
About Wrexham?
If you understood that reference, folks, just have your affairs in order. You don't want to leave your kids with a big mess.
I laughed about that for a day when he said that. When I sang the Spanish Carmel song. And he said, if you get that reference, folks, have your affairs in order. Might want to get that will notarized. Yeah, screw you, buddy.
Have you guys seen that? I forget what product it is, but the commercial where the people are like, yeah, you know, if something happens to us, we want you to take care of the kids. And the guy pops up and he's like, that's not legal. You got to get yourself a will. It's very scary.
And somebody else pops up and goes, I'm not doing that. I'm not interested in taking care of your kids. Nope. Sorry about that.
Your kids are in their 40s. They don't need someone to take care of them.
They're on their own.
They're on their own. Speaking of kids and kids of friends,
yeah,
one of them, actually my oldest friend, her daughter is going to sing the national anthem at the Fever Sky game tomorrow that Layla is calling.
That's so cool.
So Vivian Barresi is going to be singing the national anthem tomorrow with one of her castmates. Like this young lady's gonna win a Tony. Like she's been an actress since she was born, and so now she's gonna sing the national anthem. It's going to be dope.
Man.
So if you're at the Fever Sky game or you listen to it on the score and Layla's going to be on color.
Hopefully we carry the whole thing. Are we going to carry it?
I think that's the plan.
Oh, man.
Or Sunday, right? Not tomorrow. Sunday. Sunday's game, because that's why Layla's off on Monday, is that we're carrying that game.
All right. Sean Sears is on the board. Make sure we don't miss that anthem, okay?
I'll actually be there. I'll record it.
Oh, great.
Oh, great. Wow, there too,
big shooter, huh?
Talking to some WNBA scouts for some intel next
No,
week?
This is just a birthday present.
And Tanny, you'll get a kick out of this.
From the father.
So Vivian's mom and I grew up together. Our parents, our families are close. Vivian's dad grew up with the Shepkowskis in Coal City.
Oh, love that. Just saw Shep last weekend. That's cool.
So get our Coles. I know three people from Coal City, and that is unfortunate.
Wife and I were offered Sky tickets for the weekend. I didn't know they were playing the Fever. Kaylin Clark's not playing.
No,
right?
No. She's
okay. I feel better about it.
Angel Reese might not play either. There's no timetable for Kaylin Clark. Like, they may have pushed her back too soon with that groin injury, and now homegirl might miss the rest of the regular season.
All right, guys, I gotta go. I got something.
He's got a thing. He's got to go jump on a divvy bike and try to make a train. And I
King
told
bleep.
Yeah, I told him that I got the last segment so he wouldn't have to rush out of here. So when you see Matt Spiegel flying, he didn't even close the door. Like, you see Matt Spiegel flying out of here down the streets of downtown Chicago, you will know that you have seen some King bleep. Thanks to everyone involved in today's show. Tim Hardaway was outstanding. Use the rewind function on the Odyssey app. Go back to 3 o'clock and listen to our conversation with Tim Hardaway Sr. It was dope. For Alex, for Tanny, for my partner, Matt Spiegel, who is off to a divvy bike, I am Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor on Monday starting at 2 o'clock. This is Tanny's favorite thing that he plays every single week.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.